Interesting stat, 2018 survey, 85% of small business owners said they are living the American dream and happiness that they feel, the sense of fulfillment that they feel, that they can provide, that they built something that they own, that's theirs. There's something unique about business ownership.
Welcome to episode 9 of The Pursuit of Profit. Today, we are discussing the attitude of gratitude. We're talking about mindset, and we just want to say that we are truly grateful for our guests, and we're very grateful for our audience. We wish you a happy, healthy holiday, and hope you have a good listen. What's on the agenda?
Do you follow this Amy Nixon on Twitter?
From Texas?
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's in Dallas, yeah. So you're familiar with her. So I think she's great. She started this account, I guess it was after COVID, started talking about real estate and came up with this whole concept of the Airbnb bust, right? And she's all about how, you know, the Fed printing money for so many years and then, you know, keeping rates artificially suppressed for so long, and the damage that it's done to the housing market. So I think she's good. She's become very popular. She's built quite the following. She's on, Charles Payne has her on Fox Business all the time now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's, I mean, this starting
good
from a Twitter account. Pretty cool. So I think she's just sharp, really witty. I just think she's a Boston qualifier. She's a big runner. I kind of dig her. So she tweets this thing the other day. I'll read it. So she says, "Want to know if something sucks or not? Ask yourself, was this made pre or post pandemic? Across the board, quality of material goods, food, medical care, home construction, service, everything has dropped since 2020. America's richer than ever, yet we can't find things to buy that are nice. Our families basically stopped going to restaurants. You now pay more for less. Prices are up 30%, yet food quality is worse than ever. Random menu items are out of stock. Service is generally poor." She talks about buying old vintage clothing that's just higher quality. With better materials.
Mm-hmm.
"Flying on a plane, expect to pay more for your ticket and your flight to be delayed 4 times or canceled. Going to the doctor, expect to pay a higher copay, to be rushed out the door so the next patient can be squeezed in. Need a therapist? Anyone decent's closed their practice, and anyone new with an online certification, you may as well open the DSM-5 and diagnose yourself. Need any type of insurance? You'll pay more for less coverage. It's hard to come up with anything where the quality has improved since the pandemic."
Wow.
So
am I supposed to take the counter to that? Because that my head is nodding in agreement.
So there's a lot of doomers out there, right? And she's kind of doomy with real estate. So mm-hmm. It's like, all right, you know, doom sells, right? The guys mm-hmm. who write the headlines that the market's going to crash, they always get the front page. Is this real? So I start thinking about my own experiences, right? So anecdotally, I was traveling last week. Every flight I took was delayed. Every flight was delayed. The food in the airport.
from Florida to New York. It's not like a European flight. You went from Florida to New York.
These are easy
flights.
This is
not that big of a deal.
The weather was fine.
Right,
right.
Exactly.
It's like we just can't figure out how to get this right.
Exactly.
The food in the airport's super expensive. I go to the lounge. I mean, we're complaining. These are like first world problems. But I go to the lounge. The food is horrible in the lounge. I didn't want to eat the food. Now I'm starving. The people on the plane are nuts. Right, everyone's sick and coughing. Like now, I feel like I have a cold. Like, it's like you see these videos. I saw a video this week of a woman urinating in the aisle.
Yeah,
right. So everyone's insane. It's true. I rarely see a doctor that's not a specialist anymore,
right?
Because I just feel like they don't care. They talk with you for 5 minutes and then they rush you out the door. Everyone that I see is basically private pay if you're going to get anyone to like pay any close attention. True story. I kid you not. I went to Five Guys the other day to treat myself.
Wow.
Okay.
Can't believe it.
I got dirty, right? It's rare. This is a treat. I'm so excited. I'm going to go to Five Guys and get a burger.
They had no burgers?
No. They got my bag, took the bag home, right? I always check the bag, right? Because they can, down by you, it's different. The service is great, right? Down in South Florida. You have a discerning customer base down there, right? So it's like if you mess up, they're going to put you out of business. I'm a few hours north now. I literally take my bag home, right? Everything is in there. Great. I open up the burger. There's no burger on the bun.
I know it.
They gave me a burger.
I thought you were going to tell me they were out of stock. You got to be kidding me.
They gave me a burger without the burger.
With what on it? Lettuce? What was in it?
All the fixings
just
are there.
The fixings.
There's no burger.
You got to be kidding me.
I had to go back. Like how everything, it's true.
Everything is
kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, okay, how do we put a positive, like what's going well? Right. Well, we have deflation, right? So CPI is coming in. CPI now is what? 3.2%. Okay. Here's the problem. Inflation is much higher in many basic necessities. Car insurance inflation, 19%.
Mm-hmm.
Car repair inflation, 9.6%. Transportation, 9%. Rent, 7%. Homeowner inflation, 6.8%. Food away from home, 5.4%. So while headline inflation is down from the highs, the basic necessities are seeing 5% plus inflation. Affordability continues to get worse. So that's not going well. All right. What about the housing market? Right? Rates are going higher. Prices must be coming down. Not even close. Affordability is at its worst. The qualifying income for a medium-priced house in 2020 was $49,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's now over $100,000.
Yeah.
Double in 3 years. Right? Now, this is like the most important piece of the American dream.
Right.
Is homeownership.
Yeah. Stripped away.
71% of American adults believe the American dream no longer exists. Like how, it's nothing more than that. It's a dream.
Right.
It's just a dream. My dream when I was younger, I remember like, I want to make six figures, 100 grand, right? It's like that. When I first made my first year making $100,000, I was like, well, I'm going to live a great life. It's beautiful. A kid graduating from college today making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 is still living in parents' basement.
Parents, yeah.
They're not even close. So housing shortages, record high education costs, decades of stagnant wages, the sense of nihilism that young people are adopting can go one of two ways, right? You either towards resignation or we take action, right? So what do we do with that? Interesting stat. 2018 survey, 85% of small business owners said they are living the American dream.
Hmm. Small business optimism. Interesting.
Small business.
So you have consumer confidence eroding, but that's weird. But you have small business owners that are overwhelmingly positive.
There's something unique about business ownership and happiness that they feel, the sense of fulfillment that they feel, that they can provide, that they built something that they own, that's theirs.
No corporate politics and bullshit. Yep. A lot of pain right now, you know it, is coming from corporate America politics.
Politics in general. And corporate America has become a big part of that. They have to be in it.
They're told to be in it. It's demanded that they're in the fight. They're activists now. They're activists.
And it never ends well. You think they learn, it never ends well. Just
look at Disney. Look at Target actually rallied recently, but they, you know, changed course. Disney hasn't changed course yet, and the stock is at an all-time low. It's just brutal. It's been kicked in the gut and punched in the face, and it's sitting on the bottom. And I don't see it improving.
Yeah.
Iger. I'm not seeing any change right now, especially with the movies that they're pushing out.
It's going to be a tough, they have to change, and it's going to take some time.
This was supposed to be this is a gratitude pod.
Well, I think there's two things here. One is the American dream is still alive today. However, it's gotten a lot more expensive. So I'm grateful for franchising, right? I mean, like, look at what we've been able to accomplish through franchising. I'm working with more younger people today than ever before. And I think it's because they realize that they need leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, the American dream has gotten more expensive. Like we just had this chat a week or two ago with Zach Butler. Like, think about what that guy, that young, what is he, 35? Mm-hmm. What he's accomplished through franchising. He started out as an employee for a franchisee, just like I did. As an employee, you're trading time for money, zero leverage. Okay. He then owned a franchise, became a franchise owner. Great. Then became a multi-unit franchise owner. So has all these people working for him, right? Scale, even more leverage. Then he became a franchisor. And now he owns what? 7, 8 brands? Like, think about that leverage, that scale. That's the American dream.
Right.
And that's a dream that will never be accomplished trading time for money.
Right.
Plus he's created generational wealth, even if the economy turned.
He's
got a war chest of capital.
And his grandkids and his grandkids' kids will be okay.
Exactly.
You think he's like worried about inflation? It's generational wealth. Everyone's fine. Everyone will be taken care of. So, you know, he figured out how to earn with your mind, not your time. Mm-hmm. Right. So when I think about like the dream is still alive, franchising plays a huge role in that. The other thing that I think about is it's easy to go pretty negative with everything that's happening in the world, and staying positive and mindset is more important today probably than ever before.
When I completely agree with everything that you said, and it is, I think we have to get the obvious and the current state of things out of the way. You want to hear something today? Tucker Carlson was speaking with really, really close friends, finance, and he asked them, how do they feel? And all of them were very concerned and borderline paranoid about the future. When he went to this event to speak to a group of people, he met a financial analyst behind stage. He's like, oh my God, I haven't seen this guy in years. He actually came out and his opening statement was, I didn't even hear my own intro. Dana White introed him and said, you know, please welcome, you know, Tucker F and Carl, right? He actually introduced them with profanity. Right. And Tucker came out, he goes, I've never been introduced with profanity before. Maybe this is a good idea. He goes, I didn't even hear the intro. I met a friend behind stage and I said to him, I've been talking to a lot of very smart people and they are very concerned and borderline paranoid. He goes, is it a crazy statement to say that I am burying gold in my backyard? And the guy looked at him and said, absolutely not. He actually said this at the presentation. We are in a very weird time. He did the analogy of how comfortable politicians and people have become with lying, right? How comfortable. And it was, you know, children lie. We lie at a very young age. He said the difference today is that if a parent said to the child, did you eat that cookie? The child would be like, no. Are you sure there were 12 cookies? I may have had one. There's 12 missing. Maybe I had two, right? It's, I'm lying. You know I'm lying. I'm going to deny that I ate these cookies. He said, today's liar, you ate the cookies, and they will convince you that you ate the cookies, and you will question yourself, holy crap, did I eat those cookies? That's the difference between lying today and lying yesterday. Yesterday, the lie was very, today, it is psychological warfare lying, and it is very easy to remain in a constant state of frustration with what's going on. Now, I know we're going to vent and we can riff and we can get it out, and then we can turn our attention like we all should. Everyone has the right to act like a fool for 5 minutes out of the day, right? Wisdom is not exceeding the time limit. So we can get our 5 minutes out and then we can move on to how to navigate these seas. But as I said, I think it's very easy to remain in a constant state of frustration. Post-COVID has been an absolute disaster for millions of people. An absolute disaster.
From anxiety, housing to,
oh my goodness, man.
Depression.
It's
I mean, people are just dropping out. People are dropping out of the job market. people are dropping out of the dating market. People just throwing their hands up. I'm not even going to try.
Every day you're dealing with the education system, and we're drowning in information, but we're starving for knowledge, right? We're drowning in information, but we're starving for direction on what to do. And you say this all the time. What do you do with that information? Right. I'm drowning in information, but I'm starving for solutions to problems. I don't know how to navigate necessarily all these issues other than to stay true to myself and, you know, stick to my plan, keep my head down.
Do you think that part of it is we feel the need to be informed, but are we really informed? And is it important to know all this? Or just turn Twitter off, keep the blinders on, and focus on what you're building. Focus on you.
Right. I mean, people do make decisions based on data. Data is important. Empirical information is important to make business decisions. You know, would you make a huge investment in something if you knew that something, you know, negative was going to happen? I mean, you know, you used that. The issue is, you know, you were just kind of mentioning all these, you know, statistics. I don't believe a word that comes out of this administration. I'm living with my eyes wide open. I know what the CPI is because I go to the store every day and I buy shit on a regular basis. Don't tell me inflation is not increasing. This is all nonsense.
Right. $9 for a carton of eggs.
I am not believing what they're telling me. And Powell, please, Janet Yellen, I'm going to listen to this woman. It's a cast of characters. It's a shit show. None of them know what they're talking about. They've lost total credibility with me. I'm living in this world and I'm looking around and I'm talking to high net worth people and they're hunkering down. Okay. When the high net worth, I told you this a long time ago, if you remember, when I drive through my neighborhood, there are Amazon boxes on top of each other on recycle day. And I told you a long time ago, I go, it's recycle day and I am seeing fewer and fewer Amazon boxes. What happened right after that? Negative earnings on FedEx, if you remember. There are leading economic indicators, and thinking for yourself and not listening to these talking heads on TV and corrupt politicians is one of the ways that you can make really good decisions. So you said, you know, what do you do with all this information? I will listen to them. It's trust but verify. You tell me the CPI is 3. I go to the store. I look at my basket. I got 4 things and it's $300. I call bullshit. I go to the gas pump. I'm going to buy a car. Whatever you're doing, you're seeing the effects of really their lies. It's like these kids. I mean, you look at everything and what has happened post-COVID, from gender arguments to poor parenting to drugs pouring in the border. You got 290 drug overdoses a day, deaths in this country. That is the equivalent of an airplane hitting the ground and everyone dying daily. Just from an open border, fentanyl, this is 290 a day. And of course, it's all military age men and women. And in all this negative news, by the way, on top of a human brain that is already pre-wired for negative thinking, right? And mainstream media knows this and they play it. I don't know if you remember that comment from CNN. If it bleeds, it leads.
It leads, yeah.
So they love to lead in with all the negativity. I did not know this. I found out that, number one, our brain's wired negatively in a negative bias as a survival tool. You and I walk through the woods and we're looking for, you know, maybe a bear. Maybe it's an animal. Maybe it's a bear. In Florida, what do we have? We had these little bobcats, right, that have mauled people before. I used to have bobcats walking my seawall in Marco Island.
I got them. I see them on my runs all the time.
Yeah. I mean, they can do some damage. So you're running. I know you're having fun, but your brain is also looking for threats. I mean, if you're a female running through Central Park, if 100% of your run is not worried about something happening to you, you're not normal. I wouldn't run through Central Park. I don't care how big you are. I mean, it's just like you're constantly looking. Our view of the world just has a fundamental tendency to tilt toward the negative. And when you live in a time like now where it's a lot of negativity, it's painful and it will paralyze you. There's actually, people think that this is opinion. This is actually science, right? It's neuroscience. This is actually a cool story. This is out in California. They're studying this negative bias. So they took two groups. this is so simple, but it makes the point. Group A was told, just this simply, the surgical procedure you're about to experience has a 70% chance of success. How do you feel? I feel good. That's a positive statement. The same scientists walk in the next room, group B. Their surgical procedure you're about to experience has a 30% failure rate. It's the same statistic. It's just worded differently. It's the same outcome, right? Group B immediately went negative. This is not good. So the scientists go back in group A and just want to remind them, you have a 70% success rate, but I want you to know you have a 30% failure rate. They instantly went negative. Instantly. But here's the best part. This is the bias. When group B, the negative group, was told, by the way, you have a 70% success rate, I'm already negative and I'm staying negative. That doesn't change my opinion at all. Group B stayed that way. That is very interesting. You know what, Justin? That is the psychological phenomenon of you cannot make up a first impression. It's done. Think about that. That is why we're told our whole life, you have one shot at that first impression. If you are viewed as a dick at intro, you are going to have a very difficult time overcoming that. I don't care what you do.
I know everything I need to know based on how you treated that person at the table, the approach that you made.
How you treat your server. Exactly. You have one shot. There's no redo. There's no redo because we just go negative. They even proved on mainstream media, they proved that negative comments seem to have more validity than a positive comment. It's almost, think about that. That shows you the bias, right? It's like, if I say something negative, they'll be viewed as having greater validity than something positive. And that's why mainstream media has come up with, if it bleeds, it leads. People want to see the train wreck. People want to watch reality TV train wrecks. I think it's just crazy. And we're living in a time where everyone's glass half empty.
People want to do it, but it's not good, but it's unhealthy.
It is very unhealthy.
And there are little to no benefits of knowing.
This I want to go back to the brain for a second because I deal with this with family members. How many times have you been told you need to be comfortable making fun of yourself? Self-deprecation. Be honest with me. How many people have told you, or how many times have you told yourself, you need to be comfortable making fun of yourself?
I make fun of myself all the time. You know that.
Okay, so you make fun of yourself. So this is my thing with this. Going back to the brain, going back to the wiring, going back to that, I don't like self-deprecation.
Your brain actually believes it.
Justin, I don't like the advice. I don't believe in self. Do I believe in, don't confuse humility with self-deprecation. I believe in being humble and having humility.
I believe in having a thick skin, callousing your mind, fine, and being anti-fragile. That I believe in. However, it's no different than those studies. We were talking about this the other day. You have two different plants. One plant, every morning you walk up to the plant and say, you are the most beautiful plant in the world. Did I ever tell you that? You are gorgeous. Love you. Those flowers, the colors, look at the way you bloom. Unbelievable.
What a perennial.
What a perennial. The other plant, you're ugly. I hate you, right? Using curse words. You're a piece of POS, right? The plant that you say nice things to grows bigger and prettier and faster than the other plant.
I love it. I believe it. It's like playing music to them. It's true. Right. That's crazy. I'm not a fan of self-deprecation. I don't think the brain knows that you're kidding around. And I think that your brain starts to believe. I think it lowers your self-esteem. I think it lowers your self-confidence. I think it creates anxiety and depression. I think that people are constantly making fun of themselves and they think that that's how they overcome their social issues. They become withdrawn. They destroy relationships. I just think you slowly circle the drain until you don't recognize yourself. I think it's very dangerous. And I'm a big believer in thoughts become things. And if you're going to sit there and bash yourself all day, guess what? It's self-fulfilling. This shit's going to happen. If you're going to wake up and say you're an ugly flower and you look in the mirror and you're like, you're ugly, you're worthless. I don't know why anyone would want to marry you. Why would anyone want to be with you? That's fucked up. And that has consequences. And those negative thoughts become all consuming. I actually compiled a list for you. I know today is the attitude of gratitude, but I created.
We haven't shown gratitude for anything yet, by the way.
No, we're going to.
We're 32 minutes in. No gratitude.
Maybe we don't get there. I just think there's a lot to say on, maybe what we're discussing is how we end up negative. And these are the tools. These are the tools to not go negative. Okay. So far, what am I grateful for? I'm grateful for the ability to think for myself. I did say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful. We're self-employed. That's gratitude.
Yeah.
We don't have to deal with corporate politics. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the ability to think for myself. Right. I mean, I'm grateful to be like, I can self-reflect and I know my state of mind. I'm grateful for the fact that I don't make fun of myself and I don't take mainstream advice. I'm grateful for that. But I did come up with a list of that. This is the opposite of, what's his name? Is it Stephen Covey? This is the 8 habits of highly miserable people.
7 habits of highly effective people. You're doing the 8 habits of highly miserable people?
This is the 8 habits of highly miserable people. Okay. And
you came up with this.
Well, this is my life. This is my observation. This is my personal observation. And I will spare the anecdotal stories of the people in my life that relate to all 8 of these.
Right. You're not making these up. These are, you know, people.
No, this is my life. This is my life and the people around me. And this is how I feel, not necessarily family members, but you know, they could fit in here. It could be just my life and the people that I have interacted with. And instead of just seeing someone and be like, man, that guy's miserable. I have concluded 8 reasons why. Here you go, a gratitude. The number one on my list is miserable people are never grateful for anything, ever. You can give them things, you can buy them things, you can take people on vacation, you can have a meaningful impact in their life, and they will show you pretty much 0 gratitude. 0. And that is the number one on my list for the 8 habits of highly miserable people. Number 2, they almost all eat like shit and neglect their physical health. There is a pattern between being miserable and looking like you're miserable. And I think looking that way really affects their mind. Like, I look like shit, I feel like shit, and you are what you eat.
I saw a video the other day of a morbidly obese woman who's trying to get, she was driving a car, she's trying to get out of the car. And you know, like, they have caretakers. So the caretaker is trying to help her out. She falls out and she's on the ground. So now he's trying to help her up. She's screaming at him, berating him. And the comment on the video was, why are morbidly obese people always so unhappy and mean?
Yep.
How could you be happy living that way?
Yep. It's truth. That's number 2. And by the way, you just said number 6 right there. They're always the victim. They are always blaming other people. Number 3 on my list, they live and glorify the past. If you ever really listen to miserable people, man, back in the day, they only smile when it's back in the day. They live in the past. There is no present for them and there is no future.
It'll never be as good as it was.
The best of times are behind them, which is why they're miserable, because they look forward and they don't see anything. They
see nothing. The good old days.
Yeah.
I reached my peak in middle school, right? People who go back to high school and it's like, man, remember who we were then? Nobody wants to talk about what they become or what they can become.
They talk a lot about high school or maybe it ended in college. The point is, it's always really far in the past, which were their best of times, and their future and the present is just negative to them, which is why they're miserable. Mm-hmm. Number 4, they isolate themselves and they neglect relationships. One of the things we're learning, you talked about post-COVID, we are the loneliest people on the planet. We are raising a generation of children that cannot connect to another human being. They cannot build relationships. It's killing these people. They're miserable. They're marooned in their home. They're isolated. They're not happy with themselves. Therefore, they neglect everyone around them because they're miserable. Number 5, they're afraid of loss. They never take chances. They were like, look, I'm already miserable. I can't lose more. Like, I can't handle any more. I'm at capacity. They're afraid of loss. They fear change and they avoid challenges. Because if they're challenged and they fail, it only confirms that they're messed up and they lack confidence and they lack self-esteem. So they literally stand in place. They don't even run on a treadmill and go nowhere. They don't even run. And when opportunity knocks on that door behind you, they're so lazy, they won't even get up to answer it. Because it could be a challenge and I'm not up for the challenge and I'm not up for change. And I fear answering that door. Number six, you nailed it. They blame others and they are always the victim. It is never them because they can't handle any more negativity. It's never them.
There's a book here, by the way.
There's a book here, but I mean, if I really dug in here, I got stories on every one of these eight. And I'm not name dropping.
I don't think anyone could argue with this list so far.
This list is, in my opinion, very powerful, and I'm handing it to my 15-year-old son. It's like, listen, pal, I know you've been given the answers to the test on what to do. That these people here, they will destroy your life if you hang around with them. You got to stay away from these eight. Number seven, this is really interesting. They procrastinate everything and they lead a very boring life. Hey, do you want to do this? No. Hey, do you want to go? No. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to spend any money and they don't want to go anywhere and they don't want to learn anything new.
Or they talk about all the things that they want to do without ever taking action.
That's right. It's all talk. Exactly. It's talk.
I'm gonna, talk. I was gonna, I always wanted to.
And that procrastination goes nowhere because they just continuously procrastinate it. And then someone like me has to say, you know, you've been saying that for 8 years, 10 years. You've been saying that. You've done nothing. You've gone in reverse. And number eight, which is the most shocking of all of them, but it makes total sense. They are envious of other people's success. They do nothing to be successful. However, they envy others who have. It's mind-blowing to me.
You know, I love Naval.
Yes.
Naval talks about, when he talks about mindset, he says, if you secretly despise wealth, it will elude you, right? You will always be jealous and envious of those who have wealth, and being anti-wealth will prevent you from ever getting rich.
100%. Thoughts become things. You
people
hate rich
can
people.
Sense that negativity, yep. And they yep. will say, you know, they're wired to feel these things. I don't want to do business with that person. That person does not have the right relationship with money. They're never going to be rich. Why would I want to be a business partner with them?
It is so true. We talked about mindset. We did a presentation with one of our brands, if you remember. Mindset's the major determinant of success in pretty much every walk of life, period. The thinking patterns you habitually adopt, right, largely govern the results you will achieve. Fucking rich people. What you're saying in code, I hate money, I hate wealth. Okay. The universe says, your wish is my command. No money for you. I'll give it to the people who want it. And put that vibration out there. Put that signal out there.
The problem is, with the American dream being more expensive than ever, the wealth gap will continue to widen in this country. There will be the rich and there will be the poor. And if you don't want to be the rich, you're just going to be the poor person and life is going to be difficult for those people, unfortunately. It just is. I mean, it's horrible to say, but it's just fact. It's what's happening.
You ready to go positive? Let's
go positive. What are you positive about?
Go ahead. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Pull me back. You're losing me.
I'm going to take you at it. Well, listen, like as I said, I thought it was one of the best quotes I ever read. It's like, we all have the right to act like a fool for 5 minutes out of every day. Wisdom is not exceeding the time limit. So we shit all over the country and the government. We did all that. And we did our eight habits of negative people. Now, how do you avoid this vicious cycle, which begins, by the way, in the morning when you turn on social media and you immediately have a great night's sleep, wake up, beautiful cup of coffee, feel great, sun's out, live in Florida, and you go negative almost instantly just by reading two headlines in the news. So how do you avoid the vicious cycle? And the answer is gratitude. It really is. I firmly believe in all this.
Step one,
don't pick up your phone first thing in the morning. Give yourself a couple of hours. Give yourself an hour and a half to go outside and look at the sun and spend some time in nature. And practicing gratitude, there's no doubt that it is the highest vibration emotion, gratitude.
Totally.
There's no better feeling.
And it's science. As we said, it's neuroscience. I say that you have to, like, you go to the gym. The operative words here are go to, right? You have to go to gratitude. You can't just say, well, you need to say thank you on a regular basis. It doesn't work like that. Like, you have to go to gratitude the same way you go to work, you go to the gym, you go on a date, you go to dinner, you go out with friends, you go to bed, you brush your teeth, you go to do it. You have to go to it multiple times a day. And you have to stop and reflect when all that negativity is creeping in. You have to stop and say, I'm not doing this. I'm not letting it do that. I'm going to gratitude. I'm going to hit the good dopamine hits, not the cheap hits, because my text ping went off, or the cheap hits on social media when someone liked something I said. I want real dopamine hits. I want real serotonin hits, right? I want the good stuff, and that's gratitude. And you want to know where I got, this kind of crazy story. You know where I got this go-to from? An eight-year-old. This is a cute story. There are 2 8-year-old twins in the back seat of my friend's car. The daughter says, I'm in love with Chase and we're going to get married. And the mother goes, what? She says, we're in love. She's 8 years old and we're going to get married. The twin brother is next to her and he goes, I don't want to go to fall in love. Love is disgusting. Of course, my immediate reaction is that doesn't sound right. He's making falling in love look like a destination. Like, I don't want to go to the mall. I don't want to go to fall in love, he says. Love is disgusting. And I'm like, he's right. You got to go there, man. It's a destination. And you got to stay there. This freaking 8-year-old kid literally reshaped my thinking. It's not something you're like, no, I'm appreciative. I have gratitude. I have the attitude of gratitude. Prove it. Like, what do you do? It's almost like prayer. I'm being honest with you. It's prayer. You have to do it multiple times a day. It's science, and it is a shortcut. It's a life hack. It really is. The attitude of gratitude is a shortcut to just better mental health, better physical health, and better social health, where you just feel better and you want to be around people, right? It's a mindset, and it is a choice. You have a choice. You could either doom scroll on Twitter, where you can get your shit together and just sit down and maybe meditate or just reflect on all the good things going on in your life. Because I have news for everyone. It is impossible. This is impossible to feel depressed and grateful at the same time. You have to go to one of them. You're either going to stay miserable or you're going to go to gratitude. And you know this, because I think I may have gotten this from you. Where focus goes, energy flows. And you got to go to gratitude and positive thinking daily. If you want to get those, again, those dopamine hits, that serotonin hit, right? That even oxytocin, the love hormone, right? You got to go there. All neurotransmitters fire when you feel good, period. This is not an opinion. This is not a motivational statement. It's science. It's neuroscience. Love this shit.
I do a meditation every morning where I visualize the things that I want in life, but not just the thought, actually feeling it, putting myself there, right? And then you go into the things that you don't want to remind yourself of the negativity of what you don't want, so that when those negative thoughts creep up in your mind throughout the day, you know to kind of catch them. And then you go back to thinking and feeling the things that you do want. And it's not, right? It's combining that thought with the feeling and the emotion that puts yourself in this state of receivership to be open to those things that you want to get out of life. It is important. And it's science. Like, it sounds woo-woo, but it's like there are physiological changes that happen when you think and feel a certain way.
It's true.
Mind and in your body. It's incredible. True.
I was reading that Roman culture, right? Ancient philosophies, Cicero was his name. He mentioned gratitude as the mother of all human feelings. Can you imagine? Now, we used to teach this. This was something that you would be taught. You're a child, you sit down, and you are taught gratitude. And today you're taught racism. You're taught, I don't know, DEI. You're taught crazy nonsense, just crazy nonsense, instead of getting back to the basics. This is why this country is overwhelmingly on prescription drugs. It blows my mind. Do you know there are 77 million people in the United States taking just psychiatric drugs? 49 million people are on antidepressants.
Yeah, it's a problem.
30 million people on anti-anxiety. 22 million on mood stabilizers. And all this could potentially be cured just by mindset, gratitude, meditation. You don't need any of this shit. And the side effects of all the crap I just mentioned far outweigh the benefits. Far outweigh the benefits.
The side effect of an antidepressant is suicidal thoughts.
That's right. Oh, you know what I wanted to tell you about the comment I made on self-deprecation? Comedians are not the healthiest people mentally. A lot of suicide. Do you agree with that statement? That comedians have a high suicide rate as a profession?
Yeah, drug overdoses.
There's a ton of problems in that community. There was a comment made by a comedian. The worst thing to ever happen to a comic is a healthy marriage with a lot of sex and good feelings. It is the worst thing. It's basically the death wish of a comedian.
Right, to be normal.
That's right. To be happy. Because you really got to get up on stage and be like, look, I'm married. You know, they love leading in with that. Hey, yeah. How you doing? I'm Jerry. I'm married.
Right. And everyone laughs. Take my wife, please.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Take my wife. Exactly. It's like you can't be in a healthy relationship if you want to be a good comic. There's so much to unpack here. Again, it's back to that whole mindset and exercising your brain. I looked it up. Brain's 60% fat. I don't know if you know that. Everyone says it's a muscle and it's got to be worked. It's not a muscle at all.
No, it's an organ.
It's an organ and it's 60% fat.
That's why all of a sudden eggs and butter aren't bad for you all of a sudden.
Yeah, you know what? It's also why people who are being told they have high cholesterol, you should probably not take statins, because they're finding a direct correlation between lowering your cholesterol, right, and dementia. Because the brain's 60% fat, and you have brain shrinkage, and you got all these cognitive failures. This will be the next war in the pharma industry, the war on statins and this made up crap about your cholesterol level. It really, to me, the more research you do on it, it really sounds like a made up issue where, oh, Justin, you got high cholesterol. We need to put you on a statin. I don't know anyone when I was a kid that had dementia and Alzheimer's, but I knew a lot of people after 1980 when they introduced this crap to the marketplace.
Yep.
Drives me nuts.
Well, that could be a topic for another day. I think the bottom line is stay positive. Remain optimistic. I mean, how are you going to take risks and speculate and put work into growing businesses if you're negative and depressed? You can't do it.
Totally agree. All right. You want to close it out with your words of wisdom?
Yeah. I mean, listen, happy Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for everything we've built. I'm grateful that we get to help other people accomplish their entrepreneurial goals and dreams through franchising. We've had a great partnership. We've done a lot over the last, 15 years?
Yeah.
We've had a great partnership, so I'm grateful for you and everything that we've done, and hope we have a great 2024.
But yeah, same.
You have a great Thanksgiving with your family.
You too, man. I'm grateful for all the above. Good health, wealth, and happiness. I appreciate you, your family. Done a lot for me, and I'm very appreciative, and so is my family.
Likewise.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.